Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. It's Wednesday and time for a weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining us today is John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. And John, thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks, Carl.
Also with us is Sioux Falls Argus Leader political reporter David Montgomery. And David, welcome as well.
Great to be here.
Well, I was just discussing Governor Dugard's budget proposal for fiscal year 2016 with Finance Commissioner Jason Dilges. It's a conservative, modest budget with modest increases to education and other spending. John Hunter, for you, was the governor's proposal pretty much what you expected?
Very much so. It was very consistent, I believe, with his previous budget messages and all things that he explained in his presentation, which is really his best opportunity to tell the state and legislators what he'd like to do. It was very consistent with what he's done previously.
David Montgomery, your same reaction to the to his proposal?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the broad strokes, it was very predictive. There's no surprise like there was last year when Dugard sprung the windfall and unclaimed property money on us. To me, though, I mean, the most interesting things are not so much the broad strokes of a minor increase in the budget and a couple little maneuvers to keep things to free up money for the priority areas, but rather some of the grace notes that Dugard put in, sort of stamping his mark on the budget. His proposal to create an insurance to insure the state's buildings and to reverse a decade-old budget gimmick, things like that. That's sort of Dugard putting his stamp on the state's budget in some minor but probably very long-term and durable ways.
In his address yesterday, Governor Dugard praised lawmakers for approving conservative budgets in the past, saying South Dakota's in great shape because of the responsible adult-like behavior when it comes to money. John Hunter, could an argument be made for the state being maybe a little bit more liberal, spending more money for not being as conservative as the budget has been over the past few years?
Well, if you compared South Dakota to other states, that would certainly be the case. You know, there are South Dakota and its budget practices are a sound way of managing a state government. Other states certainly spend money that they don't have. They'll do more accounting gimmicks to create that kind of spending, sometimes at the expense of the long term, you know, underfunding pensions or, you know, collecting money ahead of time and deferring expenses into future budgets. But other states do that, and if you think that's correct, that would be a possible way to do. But I think this is a sound way of putting a budget together.
David Montgomery, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, there's no real big changes to this budget. This is it's to the degree there's changes and Dugard's putting a stamp on it. It's sort of a gentle tug in the steering wheel rather than a U-turn or anything like that. I mean, South Dakota has a pretty consistent budgeting practice where the governor lays out his budget. Lawmakers find ways in which they can tweak it a little bit and get a little bit more money for their priorities or beat back something they don't like, and then they ultimately pass something that's very similar to what the governor proposed. And that's likely to happen again this year. The budget in its basic shape of funding for K-12 education, higher education, the Medicaid program, and then a collection of other smaller programs isn't going to change and hasn't.
So, some Democratic lawmakers have been criticizing the budget for not doing more to address low teacher pay. The governor says there's just no additional money available and we can't spend money we don't have. Even though the legislature in the past has pretty much passed the governor's budgets, do you see, John Hunter, the teacher pay will end up being one of the major issues of the 2015 legislature?
Absolutely. I think it will be. I think it'll be discussed from stem to stern. And, they're just having been in a campaign in which all 105 legislators campaigned for and said we're devoted to education and so forth, I think that'll be talked about the whole time. Now, how you can pull that off is a different story. Governor Dugard's budget puts it out kind of as it is, and here's what the revenue projections are. So a few things can happen. One, you can raise taxes, and which is not likely to be popular among a Republican-dominated legislature and a Republican governor. You can maybe reduce expenditures in another area, and that would, I'm sure, be fought by each of those different areas. So how that plays out, I don't know, but I definitely think that they'll talk about it for the whole entire session.
David Montgomery, do you have any ideas or any thoughts of how this issue might play out?
Well, the easiest way is if late February, there's more money available in the revenue projections, which then lawmakers could then redirect to their priorities. They could also decide they don't want to do something that Dugard is proposing. Perhaps they could reject his plan to ensure the state buildings is either a bad idea or something that can't be afforded right now. I mean, there's always ways to squeeze a little money out of the budget for other priorities. And both Democrats very loudly and Republicans with a little bit less unanimity say they want to do something about teacher pay. Republicans aren't interested in some of the bolder moves that are being proposed, like a tax increase or things like that. But to the degree that there can be extra money found, Republican lawmakers are interested in earmarking it for teacher salaries.
Money for transportation was also left out of the budget address, but in a press conference afterwards, the governor said when it comes to repairing roads and bridges, everything, including gas taxes, is on the table. John Hunter, along with the teacher pay, do you expect transportation, roads to be another major issue this session?
I would, but I think if you wanted to add another vocal thing, it's going to be the expansion of Medicaid. that will be clearly an important topic, excuse me, in this session. So those three, all of which would require money, which then raises it to a level of dialogue in the legislative session, I think will be discussed.
Do you think those will be the big three issues too, David?
I would also add workforce programs. There's a lot of interest among legislators, and including some Republican leaders, in finding some ways to revamp and expand the state's workforce development programs and the tech schools. I will say that, I mean, some lawmakers have recommended a tax increase for road funding, and Dugard has repeatedly said he's open to that, I think this is an issue where it's going to come down to the governor. If the governor puts his political capital behind a tax increase, I think it'll happen. If the governor is opposed or stays neutral, it's hard to see how this gets two-thirds support in the legislature.
This week, the Government Operations and Audit Committee issued its final report on the investigation into the EB-5 scandal. The report blamed deceased former Cabinet Secretary Richard Benda for wrongdoing, essentially excluding the state's EB-5 chief Joop Bollen, former Governor Mike Rounds. John Hunter, is that as far as the legislature is concerned, the state legislature concerned, is that the end of the matter or something else going to happen?
Well, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, David, because he knows this issue a lot better than I do. But I think they will wait at least a little bit for federal investigations before anything else, what I would expect. Again, I think David knows this topic pretty well.
Yeah, David?
The Republican majority on the Government Operations and Audit Committee pretty consistently throughout this whole process advocated a very narrow mission for their investigation of the EB-5 situation. They wanted to limit it specifically to the operations of state government, what things were done, rules may have been broken by state employees, and not extending it to the potential, some of the far-reaching things, like, for example, whether criminal laws were broken, but also to the, less dramatically, to the logical next step, which is, was anything done wrong by a contractor under contract with the state? And members of the committee said that it wasn't their prerogative to go looking into private businesses, even the ones that were operating under state contracts. And so they declined to exercise subpoena power, relied on voluntary submissions, and a confidential review by the Department of Legislative Audit of the investigative file. So, I mean, it was not a surprise that the report came out and basically only put all the blame on Richard Benda because from what's been known, I mean, the only allegations of broken laws have related to what Benda did. It's possible that there's more wrongdoing done. It's possible that no other laws were broken. But at this point, we just don't have the information to say conclusively what happened or didn't.
Democrats in South Dakota elect a new state party chair this month, and Minnehaha County Democratic Party chair and County Commissioner Jeff Barth says that he's running for the state position. And David, since that's your part of the state, what do you think Jeff Barth would do for state Democrats if he got the job?
It's always hard to say what any individual person would do. Both he and Ann Tornberg, state legislative candidate who's been involved in the party, are running. There's been some rumors that former Senate candidate Rick Weiland might toss his hat in the ring, although he hasn't done anything publicly to fan or confirm those. So Barth in particular, he would bring a pugnacious spirit. He's a sort of a fighter, knows how to get attention for things. Not the best at raising money, at least in his 2012 campaign. Obviously, what the Democrats need to do is they need to raise money and recruit candidates and probably build out the formal party organization, both at the state and the county levels. And from what I've seen so far from the candidates, none of them have any far-reaching plans to do that. It'll remain to be seen, I guess, if more people throw their hats in the ring and if anyone has a proposal to take the party in a new direction.
John Hunter, looking at the position of state chair to the Democratic Party, how important is that for the Democrats, a party that I think some have described as kind of moribund in South Dakota?
Well, as David was describing, Jeff Barth, I think, would bring some of that. He called it pugnacious. But, I mean, that's part of the role of that, is to, in some cases, be the spokesperson and say things opposing Republican ideas in total. I mean, that's what party leaders do, and they can kind of do that publicly without facing re-election themselves. So they tend to be, as naturally, very partisan, and kind of all of the opposite party's ideas are not very good, and all of our party's ideas are good. But to really get a long-term impact on the party, I believe that the new party chair really would need to do a lot of recruiting, and that's recruiting for the state committee, for the candidates for the legislature. Remember, there were 40 seats that the Democrats didn't field a position for in the general election in the legislature. So there's some money that needs to be raised with that. There's legwork. There's working with county committees. There's a lot of work, and frankly, maybe almost too much work for a small staff like that. But that's what needs to be done in order to increase the success of that party.
Newly elected Republican Senator, U.S. Senator Mike Rounds, is preparing to take office next month. He's put in his request for committee assignments. And David Montgomery, what committees is he hoping to get on?
His number one goal is to be on the Senate Armed Services Committee, which is one of the highest profile committees in the Senate. He's also expressed an interest in a couple other lower profile committees. One overseeing the public works plans, including the Corps of Engineers. And, the tricky thing for Rounds is going to be that Armed Services Committee. He also wants to be in the Banking Committee. But, the Armed Services Committee, there's not a lot of open seats on it. There's a lot of new Republican senators with an interest in the military, including some who are veterans or from other states with heavy military presences. So it'll be a real test of Rounds' political clout inside the Senate Republican caucus, whether he has the pull along with Republican leaders to get this plum committee assignment that he wants, or if he's going to have to take a second choice.
John Hunter, in looking at this part of Rounds, Senator-elect Rounds' transition into before he starts his office, does this give us any sort of ideas or any sort of insight as to what sort of senator he'll be?
Well, it might. Banking in particular, as you know, South Dakota is a real player in national banking. Many of the large, or a number of large banks are domiciled in South Dakota. So that would indicate that a loyalty to South Dakota. I think the Armed Services Committee, I think, is at least being framed by his staff as an Ellsworth Air Force Base protection kind of thing. I'm not sure that's exactly what that does, because every senator has bases in their state that does that, that wants to protect their own bases from closing. So I'm not sure of that one, but banking certainly to me would indicate an interest, and of course he's in insurance and real estate and so forth, so it's a topic that's not unfamiliar to him. But really, as a freshman senator, you tend not to get the ones you want. There are a number of other freshman senators too, so that's kind of in with that pool as well. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those play out. I wouldn't expect him to get all three of those.
Well, that'll have to do it for the Dakota Political Junkies this week. John, thanks for joining the program.
Thanks, Carl.
And David, nice to talk with you as well.
Always good to be on.